Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
So as we begin this morning, you can be seated. As we begin this morning, I want you to help me settle something. It's easy, but I do need you to participate, or this is going to be really flat and boring. So can you help me out a little bit? It's the second service. Y'all supposed to be the awake crowd. All right. All right, what I want to do is let's identify. I want to know how close I am. I've put together a list of some of what is considered the greatest Christmas movies, and I want to see if anyone in here would agree with some of these movie titles. So is that easy enough? You just raise your hand and say, yeah, give me a Merry Christmas, a woohoo, or something, if this is your jam as far as Christmas movies. First, by a show of hands, does anyone vote that Home Alone would be at the top of your list? This was a surprise to me in first service. I thought this would be a 40 and under thing because of when it was released. But hey, it seems to be crossing generations. I love it. Home Alone. All right, how about this classic? Yeah, this had some support in first service. This was released in 1946. And anytime you go and search out all-time favorite Christmas movies, A Beautiful Life is there. How about this classic, originally made for TV from Dr. Seuss, The OG Grinch? Anyone? Yeah, I like that one too. It's hard to make it through Christmas without seeing that come across one of the national networks, right? That and Charlie Brown's Christmas. So how about this one? This is 2003, Will Ferrell's Elf. Yeah, this had some support in first service. All right. I was figuring this would be a Gen Z classic being in 2003. No Christmas movie conversation would be complete without this one, right? A Christmas Story. Anyone? Okay, so was it the Red Rider or the bunny costume? The Red Rider. Oh, goodness. Yeah, so all right, I got one more. This movie was released in 2006 called The Guardian. Does this make anyone's Christmas movie list? I got one, yeah, that's more than last service. All right, some of you don't look convinced. So I figured this might happen. It was released in 2006, starring Ashton Kutcher and Kevin Costner as rescue swimmers for the U.S. Coast Guard. And this movie has to be on the list of Christmas greats. And I figured it might take some convincing. So I brought the trailer in an effort to convince you to my viewpoint here. So let's watch.
Day 100 miles off the Alaskan coast, six members of a Coast Guard search and rescue team embarked on a mission.
Go!
At the height of a Category 3 storm.
Look out! Hold up! Brace for impact!
Only one would survive.
There's an instructor opening at A school.
No. I'm not interested.
You can't always be the one in the water, Ben. I need you to train the next generation.
That guy who holds all them records? Thought you ought to let him know I'm about to knock his name off that board.
Maybe you should let him know yourself. He's standing in the back of the room.
Why don't you do us both a favor and quit?
I want to apologize about what I said earlier. Thought there might be some things you'd like to apologize for.
Why? Who here can tell me the rescue swimmer's motto?
So others may live, Senior Chief!
Oh, I feel safer already.
Who is this guy?
He's a legend. He's got something like 200 saves.
He's such a stud. What's he doing here?
There will come a time when you might have to decide who lives and who dies.
Think I'm ready for this?
Go!
His greatest battle will be saving one of his own.
The boat is filling up!
I'm going in.
How do you choose who to save?
I swim as fast and as hard as I can for as long as I can. And the sea takes a rest.
Can we vote again? Does it make your Christmas classics list? Oh, boy. All right, so you still don't look convinced. This movie, it doesn't really have any Christmas trees. There's no elves. There's not even a photo with Santa. So The Guardian is a movie that's centered around U.S. Coast Guard swimmers trained to dive into torrent oceans to save the lives of others. They live by a motto so that others may live. You see, The Guardian is an action-packed story that is all about rescue. And friends, that reminds me of Christmas. Because Christmas is a true action-packed story about rescue. But it's not just any rescue. It's about your rescue and mine. That's Christmas. Listen to what the angel told Joseph about this baby boy that was coming. Matthew chapter 1, 20 and 21 says, "But after he, Joseph, was considering this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Rescue. To save from a distressing or dangerous situation. Rescue. To free from confinement, danger, or evil. That's why Jesus came. Jesus was born to save his people from their sins. You see, Christmas is the arrival of a Savior. It's the story of Jesus. Today, we're continuing in part 4 of our teaching series, The Names of Jesus. And throughout the series, we're exploring some of the different titles that the Scriptures assign to Jesus. And scholars estimate that there's somewhere around 200 different titles and names referring to Jesus. And they tell us of his nature, his character, his destiny, and his role in our redemption. And each of these names, they're really inviting us. They're inviting us to know Jesus more as they reveal who he is. And today, we're looking at the title Savior. Savior. As you enter the Christmas story in the Gospels, the theme of salvation or rescue, and those two terms we're going to kind of use interchangeably today, because rescue is salvation, salvation is really rescue. But as you enter the Gospels this morning in the Christmas story, that theme, that message is everywhere. Let's look, for instance, at Luke chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. This is when the angel comes to Mary and gives her the news that she's about to be pregnant. Verse 30 says, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus.'" Now, if you translate the name Jesus literally, it would mean the salvation of God, or God saves. And so from this very moment, this very announcement of the coming Savior, the theme of salvation is there. If we jump ahead in the story, let's go to after Jesus is born in Bethlehem, when the angels appear to the shepherds out in the fields and they give them a message. It's the message of salvation. Luke 2, verse 10 and 11 says, "But when the angel said to them," speaking to the shepherds, "'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" A Savior, a Deliverer, a Rescuer has arrived. And I love in Matthew chapter 1 that Joseph gets perhaps the most clear explanation of all. I have to think that's because his mind was so full of processing everything that Mary was saying in the story of he's wrestling with what's right before him and that his wife-to-be is now pregnant. I just think it took a black and white explanation of what was coming to get to Joseph. He says in verse 20 and 21, after Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus. We already know that means the salvation of God. God saves. You're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And what we see in this announcement, in this naming, is that the baby boy's name would be his mission. The Lord saves. He's born to save his people from their sins. If you look into this idea of will save in the original language, if you dive into that word study work, it's the basic idea of rescue from great peril. Additionally, it carries the idea of protection, to keep alive, to preserve life, to make someone whole. It really encapsulates everything we would think of when we think of rescue. Now, I don't know about you, but when I begin to think about rescue, my mind goes here, right? It's the rescue squad, yeah? The fire and rescue team. We think about rescue, we think about the brave men and women who show up after we dial 911. Rescue. And to be sure, these men and women are rescuers in the finest sense of the word, but the great rescue mission of Christmas is different. It's different. It's not about rescuing people from burning buildings or that got lost on a hiking trip in the woods. No, Jesus came to rescue people from their sins. And this idea of sins, if you dive into that word, it carries the literal meaning to miss the mark. Like if you were aiming at a target and you miss the target, that's this idea, sins. It was used of a traveler who had lost their way, who couldn't get to their destination. So imagine if you were trying to get to Harrisonburg and you start out on 340 North here but miss your turn to go 33, you're going to be off your destination. You're not getting to Harrisonburg anytime soon. I thought it was funny, like just imagine the next time you're traveling with your GPS and you miss the turn and the GPS comes on and says, hey, you're sinning, you need to repent. You're like, what? That's this idea, missing the mark. I think we would use our GPS differently, wouldn't we? That's this idea, missing the mark, not arriving at the intended destination. It also speaks sins. It speaks of falling short of an intended purpose. Falling short of an intended purpose, this idea of not fulfilling what we were made for. That's sins. And so as we consider this rescue mission of Jesus, it's not about rescuing us from torrent waters or rescuing us from not fulfilling our career dreams. He came, Jesus came, to bring us back into relationship with God, to realign our lives with our created purpose, to bring us back on target. That's why he came. Later in the Gospels, Jesus would say of himself, he would say of his mission, he said, I have come to seek and save the lost. It's all about rescue. That's the story of Christmas. Are you with me so far? Yeah. It's the great rescue story. I understand, as we begin to think about this idea of rescue, that it might be a little surprising to hear. I don't know about you, but typically when we think about rescue, we tend to think that something's happened, right? Like something has happened that has placed us in need of rescue. And so you might be sitting there wondering this morning, well, Pastor, I'm okay. Why do I need rescue? Everything seems to be fine. I'm not in a car accident. I'm not lost on a hike. Like, why rescue? It's a fair question. Because our lives can look fine. We can be fine. But the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that something did happen that put every one of us in need of rescue. And if we want to find out what happened, we need to go back into the Christmas story, but this time we need to go way back in the Christmas story to the book of Genesis. We need to go back to the very beginning. Because you see, our need for rescue begins in Genesis chapter 3, the third chapter of the Bible. If you dive into the Genesis narrative and you look into Genesis 1 and 2, what we see there is a creation story about how God spoke everything into being. It was His creative power at work. He spoke everything into existence, including Adam and Eve, the first human beings. As you read that account, as you study it, as you soak in it, as you read that, we see that Adam and Eve were created for relationship. They were created for relationship with the Lord. They were created for relationship with Him. They knew Him. They walked with Him. They served with Him as co-agents caring for creation. And so if you think about that, they had a deep, meaningful relationship. They had a true sense of identity, and they had a life-giving purpose. They literally had everything we spend our lives looking for. They had it. That is, until Genesis 3. God had given Adam and Eve virtually unlimited freedom. There was nothing off limits except for the fruit of one tree. And you see, it's not relationship without choice. So God gave Adam and Eve a choice. They still had to choose relationship with God. They had to choose obedience. And it was at that point of choice, of free will, that we see a strange new character come into the story in Genesis. Evil comes into the story in the form of a serpent, a tempter. And the message he brings is different. He says, oh, no, God's holding out on you. Do you want to be like Him? Eat from the tree. You don't want to be told what to do. You want to have the power. What happens? Genesis 3, 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. This marked the beginning of our need for rescue. You see, Adam and Eve, they fractured their relationship with God. It was no longer just them in holy communion. They had fractured that relationship with God. They fractured their relationship with each other, and they fractured their relationship with all of creation. They're missing the mark. They're no longer in a place to fulfill their created purpose of co-reigning with the Lord in creation. They sinned. They sinned. And friends, the Bible looks at this moment of disobedience, as the moment when sin and death came into our story. It's when we first needed rescue. Romans 5:12, looking at this moment, Paul says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, he's talking about Genesis. As sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. And look, it's not that you're being blamed for an apple you didn't eat thousands of years ago. That's not what this is saying. The Bible is just being honest, and it's calling us out. It's calling out the same spirit of rebellion and self-serving interest that each one of us carries today. It's calling us out. That apart from God, we are the masters of our own lives. We want the power. It's all about us. It's doing our thing, what I want. The truth is, we're destined for death. And look, how this story goes, how it plays out in each one of our lives, it can be different. Sometimes it goes rough. We might hurt other people. We might hurt ourselves. We might find ourselves stuck in a cycle of brokenness or addiction. We might live in the wake of bad decisions. Then on the other hand, hey, this story might go okay. It might look great, actually. You know, because we can have a successful career, a good family, great vacations, good reputations. We can have all the markers of success. And for most of us, this life looks like a mix of somewhere in between these two, doesn't it? But no matter how it's going, we need rescue. There's an interesting quote I saw online. It's attributed to Jim Carrey. He's a famous actor. He's been in lots of different movies and does comedy and some different things. He's someone, by the world standards, you might look at and say, yeah, that guy's got it all. But he says this. He says, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. It's not the answer. You see, no matter how our lives are going, apart from relationship with the Lord, something is missing. We are missing the mark because we were made for relationship with Him. We might live with this constant need for more, whether that's another promotion or another thing off Amazon Prime. We might live with this insatiable cure for more, pursuing and driving ourselves for more. We might live with the weight of guilt and shame of things that didn't go so well. Man, we might live our whole lives trying to prove our parents wrong because something they spoke over us as a kid. We might live without hope. We might even live with this nagging sense that there's got to be more to life than this. Friends, those groans from deep within our hearts are crying out for rescue. For rescue. To be brought back into relationship with God, to be realigned with our created purpose in serving relationship with Him. We need rescue. We need a Savior. Thinking back about this Guardian movie, you're like, gee whiz, you're still going there? Yeah. Thinking about that movie, what makes that a Christmas classic for me is not all the heroic action scenes. It's not all that stuff. I mean, if that was it, it might as well be Die Hard or something. But like, this movie is a Christmas classic to me because of the last scene. It's the ending that makes this about Christmas to me. So, a spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, we're going to watch the end together, and I think you'll see. So, let's watch.
Look, it's going down. Go forward, right 40. Look, it's halfway down.
I'm hooking it in! We're only going to get one shot at this!
What do you call it?
Yes, it will! No! It'll hold!
That's why this movie makes my list of Christmas greats. Because in the end, the rescuer gives his life to save others. And that's Christmas. That's Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The rescuer giving His life to save others. That's Christmas. That's the story. Romans 5:6 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Verse 8, he says, "God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we still needed rescue, Christ died for us." Jesus, our Savior, was born to die. You see, He did not accomplish our rescue by simply coming into the manger. He offers you and I rescue today because of the cross. Our rescuer gave His life that we could be saved. You see, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin, the wages, what we earn living apart from Him, missing the mark and out of alignment, away from relationship, what that earns us, what that gives us is death. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The truth is, if we don't embrace Christ as our Savior, we're going to face death. We're going to face eternity separated from His presence. That's the end result of a life, even a good life, that is lived in sin. It's death. But friends, a gift has been given. It doesn't have to end that way. Because the gift of Christ Jesus, our Savior. It's the greatest Christmas gift. Have you received it? Have you received it? the gift of rescue. That's why he came. Friends, the truth is we can't save ourselves. We can't be good enough. We can't try hard enough. The gift of salvation must be received. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You know, when we say Jesus is Lord, we're saying I'm not. That's important. He's Lord, and I'm not. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, rescued. Friends, if you want to receive that gift of rescue today, that's it. That's it. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10 says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. Friends, that's the way to rescue, is to place your faith in him, to declare him as Lord, Lord of your life, to believe that he came to save us, just like the messenger told Joseph. Believe that Jesus came to save us from our sins, and that through his life, death, and resurrection, he's made that possible. That's rescue. Have you received that gift today? It's the gift of Christmas. We're going to celebrate that gift together through communion. On the night before Jesus was crucified, he gave his disciples a way to remember the cost of their rescue. A way to remember that it was only through his broken body and his blood shed on the cross that they could be saved. He gave them what we call communion, the bread and the cup. Communion is a means of grace by which we believe Christ is present by the Spirit. We believe it's to be received with reverent appreciation for the gift. The gift.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.